I really don't understand why I get erections every time I pass funeral homes.
Because of the formaldehyde smell.
Yeah. That's science.
That's science. Let's
look it up. It's erotic.
Lavender, patchouli, formaldehyde. Those are the erogenous smells.
There's something to that.
I mean, now that I think about it, I kind of have an erection all the time. So,
well, you're a gifted man.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that would pay for that.
Yeah.
It's a curse.
I have to go to the doctor every 24 hours.
Yeah. There is that one that the people that got like orgasms just like all the time, just like their pants
terrible.
Their pants are too tight, shit like that.
Oh, what show was that? Like
weird science.
I can't remember what it was, but yeah, it was like that guy's life was like a living hell.
He was like, I had to leave my father's funeral because I orgasmed 6 times. Then he's like fucking ready to shoot himself, and I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah
dude, every time he does it, it's like a painful grimace.
Yeah.
He's like, and like, I'm not having a good time anymore.
Yeah. At that point, like, remove whatever gives me orgasms. Just cut that whole section out.
Jesus Christ.
But society says that's what makes you a man.
Society's rat.
Is it?
No.
Not at all.
Was Eric just the voice of the reason right there?
Yeah. Was that the moment?
Tonsillitis has enlightened Eric, so.
That's the fever.
The fever set in. He's talking rationale. It's like, Eric, where do you stand politically? Well, I'm like, I say I'm like middle left. And it's like, there it is. Put him down.
There it That's is. Put him down. Down.
That's not the Eric I know. I don't know him. I don't know who that is. He looks like my husband. He's died. He's died my husband. This movie's too graphic. I don't know who that is.
I'm losing it. Fuck.
Is all that blood necessary?
Dude, I got some points to make about the movie we're doing today.
Points.
And like and it involves like Eric. But
sick. What, are you gonna introduce the podcast or something?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Fuck, might as well.
That's your job. It's your only job.
I was gonna do it, but okay.
Don't put your burden on Eric. He is injured vocally. Hunter's trying to just slag off his responsibilities on the week.
Go ahead, because I'm on fucking Amazon shopping right now.
How about you look at paying those workers a fair wage?
I know.
And change the working conditions.
Pardon me?
What? He's like, what did you say to me?
He's not Benzo, the owner of Amazon.
Benzo? He's not Benzo. That's what I'm going to call him now. Holy shit.
I don't know his name.
Fucking Benzo.
Ed Benzo, owner of Amazon. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of your favorite podcast. The one, the only, The Cult of Horror. I'm Eric, one of the three guys. There's three of us.
He's spitting facts.
If you can't count and you have all your fingers, put your hand out and you put two down, that's how many of us there is.
Well, if you can't count, how are you going to put two down?
God damn it.
Goddamn fever.
You go into your garage. You get your table blade. You set that on. You put your thumb in there. You put your pinky in there. And then however many fingers you got left, that's how many's running this podcast.
There you go.
Figure it out.
All right, so I'm Eric. That's Elliot. And the one over there is Hunter.
That's me.
We got an exciting episode for y'all today.
Sounds like it.
As Elliot would call it, this is a good one. This is going to be a good one right there.
What does that mean?
We're going to be good.
That's what it means.
Elvis Presley just said so yeah.
Eric, I saw your fucking post about your like Elvis themed office and like, and I was like, I never really I didn't really imagine you having a Funko Pop.
I didn't. I never thought I would. But like, I was like, man, what can I put that's not huge at my desk? And then I saw it was like the three Elvis Funko Pops for like $30. And I was like, fucking sold. And I made like little scenes for all of them.
It's like, yeah, it's like luau, like Elvis. It makes it to where like any middle-aged Karen that comes into your office is like, oh, he's sweet. He's sweet. Got a little, you know.
Whatever, Elvis will take you down to that pineapple farm, get you some pineapple ice cream, and then like, fuck you.
I saw him in a short sleeve shirt one day, though. Do you know he is covered in gang tattoos?
Covered.
That Eric, he's a sweet boy, but I wonder about him.
I probably shouldn't talk about this, but my wife won't let me wear short sleeve shirts to work.
Do you want them to see filthed out and tattoos?
They're like, you know them. You know what the Karen's gonna say. You know what they're gonna say.
He makes me uncomfortable. He's got a ski mask on his arm.
I heard he rides a lowrider to work.
No, he's got a Lexus. No, but I heard
he gang banged all the way up here, bumping his kind of music.
Sometimes I wish he would gang bang me up here.
I don't know.
I know. We're reversing roles today. I don't know.
You just cut to the core of the Karen where she's angry because she just wants some
sexual frustration.
Yeah, she's frustrated.
She just wants a little spice in her life.
Donna, sit down. God damn it.
I got this really funny leftover crack ripoff shirt, and it says Spice Girls, and it has the Spice Girls on it.
Is that from that Bread and Water printing company?
It is. It is from Bread and Water. Shout out.
They got sick shirts.
Honestly, they do. They have a really awesome color design for a Rudimentary Peni shirt. I really want to get that.
A what now?
Rudimentary Peni.
The punk band. Oh. Yeah, basically, they get mainstream artists, and then like they have like shirt designs that are in the style of like an old punk album, or whatever. It should be like Bruce Springsteen, but it looks like The Clash or some bullshit like that.
Honestly, I've thought of doing that for so fucking long, but I would never be able to make designs good enough. That's scratching the itch. I love that shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's like a one-woman operation.
It 100% is. She lives in a van. She's living the van life.
She prints it, she models it, she sells it, yep. Packs it.
That's kind of, I wish, the life I could live.
Dude, me too. I tried to start screen printing, but I'm not good at it. Like, I don't have the hands or, like, the, I don't know, concentration.
Oh, I was talking about living in a van.
Down by the river.
That too.
Yeah, but I don't want to work, so I'm going to wait till I win the lottery before I do that.
Dude, there are people who literally just live the van life. Like basically, like, they just get online and, like, do, like, online work, and it's enough to sustain them.
Yeah, I was reading about some dude who lives in his van, and I don't know what the fuck he does, but he's got a work from home job, so he just goes wherever the fuck he wants, and as long as he's got internet, he's good to go.
Yeah, I saw that on TikTok.
Was that TikTok?
I don't know. I saw one of them on TikTok.
They're all on TikTok.
Everything's on TikTok. If you're not on TikTok, are you even alive?
I don't fucking go there no more. It used to be real funny, but now, like, I'm tired
of
these.
All the boomers are on there.
No, I'm just tired of all the fucking teenage girls.
You're like, he doesn't even have an account. He's not even, like, logged in.
I do, but, like, I only see things that, like, people send me.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't go, like, on the For Your page, and when I do it, that's, like, all I get, or, like, there's, like, some chubby cholo who tells jokes or something. And that's like the only other thing that fucking comes on. And I'm just like, yeah, this is whack.
Chubby Cholo.
Dude, honestly, TikTok gets me slightly offended because like it will, my For You page will change dramatically. Like,
can you like reset your fucking algorithm or something? Like,
I don't think so. You can't do a lot.
Cause it used to be a lot better for me. Like back when I wasn't working, I would check it out in the morning and there's like funny shit, people doing dumb stuff. And then, like, now it's, like, people who swear Trump is still president or some 20-year-old girl at her Popeye's job trying to show her butt.
What's the location of this Popeye's?
At her Popeye's? Where's this Popeye's at?
Where's the location? Is it store 33? Where are we at?
I'm going to need the GPS coordinates.
I swear that fucking song that they all play makes me want to fucking kill things.
Which one?
That fucking, what is it, small face, pretty waist or some shit?
Oh, I got a small waist, pretty waist, or I got a small face, pretty waist with the fucking God.
Yeah, every time
with a big bank.
Every time I fucking hear like the fucking first goddamn word out of that song, I just want to fucking break shit. Where are their parents? Is what I want to know.
Doing TikTok in another room.
Yeah, exactly.
This is how you could meal prep for the whole week. I'm Diane.
Well, see, that's what I want to watch. I want to see meal prepping and how to fix stuff. And
all you got to do is search it in the search box.
I do, but that doesn't change my For You page.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, Elliot, we gotta talk a little bit about something cool that you did. You now are 500 followers deep on your Return to the House of Grindcore.
That doesn't mean nothing. Nobody fucking reads the articles. No one reads anything I write.
You're becoming like a force. It almost doesn't even matter.
I got a platform and nothing to say.
You got a platform. Like, it's funny, me and Eric jumped in there and started asking you questions and stuff, but then everybody else did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like surprised that it was more than you two. And I was like, oh, there's Eric, there's Hunter. And then there's like somebody I don't know. I was like, oh shit, I got to answer this.
Yeah, man, I thought that was dope because, I mean, like, you are getting engagement. Like, people like your shit.
Yeah, man, Cringe Wave is pretty cool, man.
Cringe Wave. Yeah.
Now you just need to kind of, like, you know, shout us out. Shout our podcast out.
I can't. I can't get it to happen organically. I'm sorry.
But, no, I think that's pretty cool, man.
Thanks.
Congrats.
Semi-hard work.
Just like you should do, like, a stream, like, reacting to your band.
Oh, I'll probably get in trouble.
Yeah, you definitely will.
Like, oh, no. I want to, like, get, like, a radio station thing going. That'd be cool.
Do it.
KVLT, The Cult.
Oh, yeah. I see what you did there, like the V instead of a U.
Yeah.
Man, that's tight.
This is what we're going to do. The Cult.
This one's Insect Warfare with...
We do it on the Cult. Catfish, Blabbermouth, and I'm the Witch Doctor. I'm the Cult.
Honestly, that's kind of dope.
This next one's going to be from all our friends from Ringo, John, Paul, and George. That's right. The Fab Four, the Beatles with Maxwell Silverhammer. Here we go.
Why don't you start a radio station?
I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do shit. Who's going to listen to that?
I don't know. That's not a bad idea. Anyway, yeah, I mean, that's awesome, Elliot. I'm really happy for you.
Thanks, man. Why being so nice?
What are you talking about?
He's fucking delirious right now.
Man, everybody's out of their element on this episode.
Yeah, this is a weird day.
Hunter's nice. Eric's civil. Like, weird. This is weird.
Oh, yeah. I should probably say that they doubled my medication about a week and a half ago.
I could tell, like, significantly, because you're in a... You seem to be in a better mood.
Well, wait till we get to these movies. Maybe I'll, like, take a...
Well, no. Maybe.
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I've never felt like my old self as much as I have this last week.
This last week, the stuff you've been saying... You've been in such a great mood. You've been popping LOLs in the chat.
I didn't even know I knew how to do that.
I lol. I'm a loller.
He's Jerry Lawler.
And even today, he's like, I didn't get much sleep. I'm not going to be in a good mood. I got tonsillitis. Let's fucking do this. And now you're just like a baby angel. What are you doing?
This is my bad mood right now.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, compared to like what you've been saying the rest of the week, this is the bad mood.
Oh yeah,
I dig it. I'm happy for you too. If this is a consistent thing, goddamn.
I hope so. I really hope so.
Because you're overdue.
So fucking overdue.
3 years, man.
Dude, they've been fucking a nightmare. Like, I would sometimes sit on the couch in the middle of the night thinking, did I die? And this is just my hell. Or am I going through some Jacob's Ladder shit where really I'm in a coma on a stretcher or something somewhere and I'm just imagined all the worst shit that could happen to me for the last 3 years?
A little of this, little of that.
I remember when I was at my parents' one time, I woke up and everybody was gone out of my house, which is weird. The internet didn't work, the phones didn't work, the TV didn't work, and nobody was outside, and I thought I died for like 3 hours. I was like, oh shit, like I was scared to go outside because I thought it was like Beetlejuice where I just get like sucked into like Saturn or something like that. So I was just like, the fuck do I do now?
Dude, I've been like really fucking nosediving into the whole like Mandela effect and simulation hypothesis. Oh my god, dude, it explains my whole life. Like, I've probably been jumping in and out of different fucking dimensions or simulations.
Elliot, he's on a manic episode right now. Get him.
It sounds like you need to reevaluate that medication there, buddy.
Yeah.
He was like, I determined, I finally figured out I've been blipping in and out of dimensions. So
life isn't real. We are all a simulation. You're all non-playable characters.
And then he jumps off a building to prove it.
Yeah. Like, it sucks because you're getting it on both ends, Eric. Like, when you're down, you think he died. When you're up, I think I've been jumped through realities my entire life.
I think I'm in the right one right now. So let's see if I can hold on.
Let me hang on to something. Let me pinch myself.
Bernstein Bears. God damn it.
I swear by that, though, that Bernstein Bears, that's how it was.
Born. I went digging in my parents' shed because, dude, I don't want to go in a rabbit hole and waste time. But apparently, like, you guys remember the Toxic Crusader toys?
Yeah.
I had them as a kid, and I remember them just being, like, the best sculpts. And they were, like, Ninja Turtle toys on crack. And this last week, I just went ham on eBay, and I made a lot of rash decisions, and a lot of money was lost on fucking Toxic Crusader toys. I mean, actually, I had to have a talk about it, but
we had to have a special talk.
But like, before I start spending money on this shit, I went to my parents' shed in their backyard and like found like this old toy chest that has a lot of toys in there to see if I could like actually like find them before I bought them. And I've uncovered like a Bernstein Bears book, like from when I was a kid, and it was Bernstein. And I was like, oh shit, like that, you know, that shit hasn't been touched for 30 years.
Listening to all these like podcasts and reading all this shit, I've come to the conclusion that I've been in this fucking reality the whole fucking time. Because everything, like all the examples that everybody gets, like gives, it's like no, it's been that the whole time. Like I remember being a little kid going, and my teacher calling it the Bernstein Bears, and I'm like looking at the book, like that's not how you spell Bernstein. There's an A right there.
I think I specifically remember that. That was the problem, was people, like, depending on who is reading it. Like, I'm pretty sure my mom would, like, say Bernstein Bears, and you look at it like, no. It's, I think it's, like, it's kids who are exposed to the human error of other people. Like, the people who, like, they, like, start the Luke, I am your father Star Wars quotes wrong. It's like, no, it's like, you were listening to your dumbass friends at age 4 misquote the movie out of context, and then that's what you're quoting and shit like that. I was like, that's always been the same. Jaws has always been the same. Mandela was released from prison. Like, you just weren't paying attention, or you're misquoting, you know, third hand, you know, Purple Monkey dishwasher shit. So I was like, it's not, I don't understand the fucking,
that's gonna be the name of the episode, Purple Monkey Dishwasher.
Yeah, I don't understand the Mandela effect stuff. I'm just like, all the stuff's like the fucking same. So I've also been in this reality with Eric as well.
Yeah, that was kind of like a thing, like, damn, how come I didn't get to experience this shit? That sucks.
It's parents reading it wrong because they're like, this is a long ass fucking stupid name. I don't know how to pronounce this. Or like someone's redneck dad being like, this sounds a little Hebrew. But you know, like, that's what I think.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty good long term memory. So I can just like remember a lot of situations where I'm like, no, that's literally how it's always been.
Just stupid parents ruining kids. It's stupid parents like misreading shit to kids. And then they're even stupider children. Are so stupid that they can't put it together. So they're like, might as well be different dimensions, I guess.
A kiss. Yes.
Miss Juliet, that's not how I learned how to do long division. So you're wrong. I'm from another dimension. Go fuck yourself. I do it like this.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think it is. It's just,
it's stupid kids becoming stupid parents.
Yeah.
And having even stupider kids.
That's how old we are. It's like there's a third, fourth generation of stupidity going on.
That's right.
I'm trying to remember what fucking movie I saw this week.
I know two movies you watched.
Yeah, but I watched some more, like, for fun.
For funsies?
Yeah. I realized it's such a bummer for me to watch movies for the podcast because I have to, like, take notes in order to, like, recall what happened in the movie when I record this podcast. So, like, I'm constantly, like, typing up the play-by-play, and I'm like, oh, my God. It's hard to get immersed. So that's a fun thing.
Dude, I totally blanked out while you were talking. What?
Well, I guess not a lot of things have changed with the meds. I'm telling you, man, you get it up and you get it down.
All the way down.
I watched Ginger Snaps 2, which was surprising. Like, surprisingly.
Like, fun to watch.
Decent. Oh, yeah, dude, I like those movies.
Yeah, they're.
I just do.
They're not great, but they're, like, entertaining.
They're like cult indie, like, you know, and they're from Canada, man. Like, I love, you just can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with Canada. But yeah, I mean, like, it was completely different. Like, you know, the first one's like, you know, female, like, puberty. Like, that's the whole, like, vibe, like, you know, yeah, early teens. Then the next one deals with, like, teenage, like, girl stuff. Like, you know, mental health, like, drug abuse, shit that could happen. The darker shit, you know, before you go into adulthood. And it, man, pretty fucking crazy. But
there's no three, right?
There is a three.
There is,
you know what I found out?
It's not them, right? It's new people?
It is them in, like, the 1800s.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
Like, that plot is, like, so stupid to me, but, you know, I'm going to watch it. Like, you know, you got me.
I don't know why. I just got fucking flashbacks of that one movie. Was it Wax House?
Think of Waxworks?
Waxworks, that's
there
it.
There you go.
I was like, isn't it the guy from, like, Gremlins in there? Yeah, Zach Galligan from Gremlins, isn't it? Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
You ain't never seen it?
Hell no.
Shit, son.
The other movie that I watched was that, I don't know if y'all remember, but it came out back in like 2020, a few months back when we were talking about like, hey, maybe we should review this. It's a Shudder original called Lucky. Y'all seen that in passing?
No.
Yeah.
It is awful.
Yeah. I mean, it just looks awful.
Well, but like I kept reading articles from, you know, reputable stuff like fucking the Roger Ebert shit, right?
You can't read those anymore, dude. It's become fucking fake news now.
Yeah, they're probably paying for that shit. But yeah. I mean, like, these are from like articles who like just seemingly don't like any movie, yeah, like at all. So like I figured, hey, you know, maybe they can't be bought, but I guess they can because yeah, this movie was poo poo doo doo.
Maybe that's like a red flag because it's like if they shit on everything and then all of a sudden they really like this one movie, they got fucking paid.
Yeah, somebody pay us. But not really. I would not do that for anything less than $10,000.
Waxworks 2 is called Waxworks 2 Lost in Time. So was that it? Step Back in Time? It's also the one with Bruce Campbell. That's the one I remember. I don't remember Waxworks 1. So
shit, I might watch those later today.
Hell yeah, brother. Also, the movie that we reviewed a while back, it was like a month ago, but Sun is now streaming on Shudder. So if you didn't want to pay for a Sun rental, Sun is now on Shudder, Shudder original. Go check it out.
Tell me why I had a weird dream about my neighbors, or me overhearing a conversation where my neighbors were trying to figure out where they could watch anything for Jackson.
Oh my God. That was 100% a dream. I bet your dreams are wild now.
Dude, it was weird. Like I was in the bedroom, the window was open and my neighbors who were my neighbors, cause it was two women, were in like this shed and they were like fixing up this shed and I hear them talking and they're like, yeah, I really want to watch anything for Jackson, but I can't figure out where to watch it. And I'm just like, man, I need to run out there and let them know that they could get it on Shudder.
Wait, Anything for Jackson? Is that documentary about Michael Jackson and how he touched those kids?
Wow.
Way to just do that, honey.
I mean, I'm off the rails today.
Good Lord.
I like how, like, Eric's, like, hero complex is so, like, low stakes mundane that it's like two people like, where can I watch this? He's like, I could be your hero. And then you just, like, open the window. It's on Shudder.
Try it out for 7 days for free and see if you like it.
Yeah, that's what I need to start telling people when they post, hey, is Shudder worth it? Well, dude, just fucking try it.
Usually the people who ask that are like not kind of really into horror.
Not real people.
They're not really into horror. They're just...
Well, some people don't know they're into horror like that, yeah, you know? Like some people like are in the mood for a horror movie, but they don't realize like that they're into horror. I mean, like, I know a lot of people like that. Like, if they got a Shudder subscription and, like, you told them all, like, the gems that are in there, they would kind of, like, be like, okay, this is my shit. This is my channel.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people refuse to watch anything that's older, too, so.
Yeah, that's true.
But to be fair, I don't know why I pay for, like, 75 fucking apps, and the first app I go to when I turn on my TV is Tubi.
I don't know why either. I never go to Tubi.
Really?
Yeah, like,
you're not a fan, right?
I mean, I don't prefer the commercials, and a lot of the time it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like their format is better and easier for me to search for movies.
I will tell you this, Shudder needs to fucking update every single like version of their app. They've needed to for years.
Years? It's terrible.
It's awful. It's the worst app.
I used to try to stream it with Chromecast. Fucking yeah, impossible.
And I also have it on the Xbox, like the app on the Xbox. Mm. It's like unusable. It crashes immediately because it tries to use that Shudder TV like right off the bat, and it just crashes my whole Xbox.
Oh yeah, they need to stop that. That needs to be an option, not a have to do.
Like, I do love the idea. I love the concept of the Shudder TV, but it does not need to be on the forefront. It does not need to be the first thing that opens.
It does not need to open up on that.
Yeah, like it's not good. But anyway.
You motherfuckers got any news?
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
I'm
fucking read it, King.
Read it. Cult member Victor and his new wife Jennifer got married.
Woo!
July 2nd.
Woo! Congratulations.
And a big fan of the podcast, best friend. Also, happy birthday to Ricky, July 7th.
Ricky!
Happy birthday, Ricky.
And see the people that are going to, you hear these people getting shouted out. That could be you, other listeners, if you chose to participate like Victor and Ricky, but you don't. So you don't get shout outs for your birthday or congratulations on your wedding days or whatever. So.
Take that.
Like that. Anyways, happy congratulations to them. Okay, first up in news, Scream, the new Scream movie that's coming out next year in 2022 has wrapped filming this week and is set to be released January 14th, which is the scariest month. And everybody's real hyped about that, but it's not gonna
January be. Is the scariest month.
I don't know. They're releasing that shit in January for some.
Yeah, that's not gonna be good.
That's always like where they release. 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Shit. They did the same thing with the Turning. Like that was in February, like tail end of January, somewhere around there.
Well, let's try to rationalize. Maybe it's because they think theater attendance will go up by then because more people will be vaccinated and we'll be more in control of the COVID virus.
Hold on. Let's back up. Are you giving them the benefit of the doubt?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Eric?
Sure am. Everybody gets one.
Man, he's no longer devil's advocate. He's Jesus' advocate.
Well, you see, you're starting to maybe be a believer.
If they just wrapped a few days ago, and then you got like you're gonna have a butt ton of post production, and then it's coming out January 14th, 2022. It seems almost like a rush. Like that's the soonest they can get out is January. Like they want to get on this monies.
And this one's gonna be low budget as fuck, right?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean, I've heard tale that it looks pretty good and the script's pretty good and all that shit, but
they're banking on like all the success that the Halloween 2018 like had going for it. So like,
I mean, if they do it right, fuck.
If the studio was smart, they'd throw as much money as they had at it.
I really don't think they're going to strike magic twice like that.
Yeah. Is Matthew Lillard going
to
be?
Matthew Lillard in it? I don't know. Like he needs to be, but yeah.
Yeah. All fucked up.
They still haven't announced him?
I mean, there's a lot of, like, fan fake trailers and shit.
I was like, that's probably what I fucking saw was, like, he survived and he's back to kill everybody.
That would be the only thing that made sense.
I like that.
Like, all the killers and all the Scream movies never made sense outside of that first one. It was like, oh, yeah, I'm a distant cousin of your fucking slut mother who fucked my cousin's dog. And I'm just like, oh, man.
They went too campy with the whole, like, this is all a movie kind of shit, you know?
Too meta. And it shot itself in its meta foot.
Damn!
Speaking of Halloween, Halloween 1 through 5 is getting a 4K UHD Blu-ray Collector's Edition set from Scream Factory.
Now, buying that?
I'm not there yet. I don't want to get a 4K player.
Brand new artwork that is sick as fuck. Forgot the name of the artist though. But it's gonna have more special features and commentaries and behind the scenes than ever before. It's gonna come with package deals where you get posters of the cover art. You get 7-inch splattered vinyl records for each film. You get enamel pin sets, and you get these, you know, top notch. I don't even know what the hell UHD is, but
it's just 4K.
Ultra high definition.
So those are coming out on sale September 28th.
Is it an HDR?
I don't even know what you're saying. Too many letters and numbers coming at me.
It's a high dynamic range?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just said it's 4K UHD Blu-ray.
Eric, I don't know about you, but like not working around Best Buy and like all that shit anymore, I know nothing about tech anymore.
Oh, dude, the moment I quit, my brain just fucking formatted all that information because I don't want to remember a fucking thing about the actual work.
Yeah. I remember I was so interested in like computers, phones, and then like slowly over time as I got out of it, just I don't even know what the newest iPhone or the newest fucking like Samsung phone are anymore.
That's how I was when I saw like the Samsung S20. I was like, hey, there's plenty of those motherfuckers.
Yeah,
damn.
Dude, yeah. Fuck.
Anyway, I'm a hunter anyway.
Fuck technology. I'm old now.
Yeah.
Me too.
I never understood technology, so imagine how I feel. Yeah. It's all magic. Andre Gower, aka Sean from the Monster Squad and producer of the Wolfman's Got Nards Monster Squad documentary.
Cool guy. Real cool
hospitalized
guy.
Hospitalized after a massive heart attack, which he had to have a pacemaker installed in the ICU.
Damn, so young though.
48. He was 48 years old.
Fuck. I'm almost 48.
Hell no, you're not.
Jesus, it feels like it.
In his conservative heart, he is. He currently has a GoFundMe page up. If you can search for that, we'll probably post that after this episode airs. But he is looking to help contribute to his $250,000 medical bill.
Fuck,
currently,
dude.
He's like a quarter of the way there with like $60,000.
He didn't have health insurance or anything.
He's probably not. He's an independent filmmaker. His deductible is $1 million, so.
I was like, God damn, dude, I had a fucking, all my knee surgeries cost me like $100.
Well, it's because you're privileged. I don't know. Anyways, Andre Gower, like, you know, we're rooting for you, I guess.
Yeah, man.
Sympathy. But yeah.
Oh, he's fucked on health insurance now. Ain't nobody going to cover him. Damn.
Yeah. And he was really nice on that cameo that my brother got to embarrass me on.
Yeah,
my birthday. He was really nice about talking shit to me, so I feel bad for him.
He talks shit really nice.
Yeah, he did it in a way that made me like, oh. So Andre Gower, hope you don't die. Hope to we get some money towards you.
I hope you don't die, brother.
Yeah. Speaking of death, HBO has canceled Lovecraft Country after one season.
I know.
I've never watched it.
That's why they canceled it.
No.
Yeah. No, they said it eventually got a really solid following, but I don't think they thought that shit was worth it.
And the whole book ends after the season one ended where the book ended. So they'd have to make a whole new like thing to make it interesting and whatever. But
what book is it based on?
Lovecraft Country.
That's an actual book?
Yep.
But Lovecraft didn't write that.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's literally like the same plot of the show. It came out like 2016.
It's a Lovecraft fan.
So it's a novel by a fan?
I guess. I mean, it's not about like Lovecraft. It's just like...
Yeah, you're just like making me want to watch it less now.
Oh my God. Okay.
I mean, Lovecraft is to be read, not seen.
Jeez. I mean, honestly, from what I've seen, that's pretty true.
Let's see. Night of the Living Dead Part 2 is making waves across the internet with...
There's a two?
There is There's a two. Two. Well, technically two is Dawn of the Dead, but somebody is making a part two. Marcus Slabine.
That guy?
Is teasing a trailer of, it's basically the Day of the Dead cast, which is with Laura Cardale, Tori Alexander, and Jarlith Conroy, and they're old and they're like, it's like them defending themselves against something, and it's like weird black and white like trailer that's on YouTube and like going around the internet promoting Night of the Living Dead Part 2 with the Day of the Dead actors.
That sounds terrible.
Yes, it does. But there's no confirmation on anything as if they're going to be in the movie or what this movie's about or what's going on or anything. It's just like this teaser trailer just to like, you know, spook up, you know, talk and shit like that. So
I don't like that.
It's in it's bad because Night of the Living Dead 2, that's because Night of the Living Dead is, you know, public domain. That's why you have Night of the Living Dead 3D. That's why you have Night of the Living Dead, you know, all these old horror movies that's, you know, in the background on TV. It's because it's public domain. So you right now, the listener, could go make a Night of the Living Dead film and you won't be sued. So that's probably why it's called Night of the Living Dead 2, which is already stupid. So yeah, it sounds already stupid. Lastly, in my news, Jason Blum has confirmed that Blumhouse will be producing the new Exorcist film.
Fuck.
Who else would, like, is it even surprising anymore?
No, that's on brand.
No, it's just like, it still makes me sigh every time.
An involuntary response.
Exactly. You know?
They're in talks with and trying to get David Gordon Green to direct.
I mean, that's good, but
in an interview with Jason Blum, he wants David Gordon Green because they want to do exactly what Halloween did in 2018. So they want to get the same director, they want to do the exact same thing, and they want to like spice up this franchise. They want to make it appealing to people who haven't seen the original Exorcist and people who have seen the original Exorcist, and like a standalone film but still like in the genre. And like he said Halloween in the interview so many fucking times, like how he just wanted to like do what Halloween did, make Exorcist.
They're completely
Halloween.
Different movies. Like they're completely different franchises. Like how, just because you're good at a slasher like reboot does not mean you're going to be good at like the ultimate supernatural reboot.
Well, it's Jason Blum. He's pretty much game for anything.
He's game for, because he just, I mean, really what it comes down to with Blumhouse, you just got to get the butts in the seats. That's it. It's all about like numbers. So he doesn't care whether the movie's shit or not. Like, as people are still going to see it.
Yeah. So
calm down, Eric. Shit.
Whatever.
Whatever. Jesus. I knew it's spicy. That's all I got for news.
Well, I mean, that's some significant news, but
he's all bummed out. Yeah.
You know me.
Fucking ruining memories.
Ruined. I mean, Exorcist doesn't have a solid franchise to begin with.
Like part 3 was good.
Was it? Yeah.
It wasn't really.
Well, part 3 wasn't even supposed to be an Exorcist movie, if anybody's baffled by that. I mean, I if you go look for, I think Scream Factory put out like a producer's cut, director's, I think it's director's cut, Blu-ray of part 3, where it makes, it like has a completely different ending and makes more sense, but it's basically like a Zodiac killer type thing that they had to like tie into the Exorcist real quick for no reason.
It's very The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Or it's like, let's show that clip of the exorcism from the part where they were at the school showing those people. That's how we're going to tie it all together.
Yeah.
Roll that clip.
But, and they had like a TV show. I didn't even watch that. I don't know how that went, but
I saw like 2 or 3 episodes. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but it was super corny drama.
Yeah, it was more drama than horror.
Absolutely. I will call it okay.
Yeah.
I saw like one of those, like, you know, back in the late 90s, like Dominion and Requiem and Chartreuse. Or whatever the fuck they were. Like all
that's those. That's a good color to use when you're going after bass, especially in.
It's one of my favorite Prismacolors when I used to draw. Anyways,
it's fucking green. It's green. Okay, French it up all you want, but it's green.
It's a nice solid pigment. You can pack it in real good.
I'm colorblind.
Oh my god!
This conversation offends me.
And now he's back full hunter. Hey, you motherfuckers want to talk about a movie?
Maybe.
Kinda.
I don't know. What the fuck was that? Is that the sound that this movie kept making the whole time?
I'm thinking that you weren't a fan of this movie.
I don't know. I don't know.
He started with some aggression, baby.
I'll tell you something. I'm a fan of that noise.
Let's see. Here we go. I'm going to read the fucking synopsis. This Hunter.
We don't know Chris.
Hunter's not even going to say shit, so I guess we'll do it for him.
What? No.
This week's review, we're reviewing. he always says the, like, he always wants like the most like current date. He's like, we're doing 2024's Censor. It's not even out.
So on today's episode, we are reviewing the kind of, I guess, new movie called Censor. It's on VOD. It is made in 2020, or supposed to be released in 2020, but it's out now in 2021. And
in a post-pandemic world, or that's not even post, but during a post-pandemic world, dates no longer matter.
Dates don't matter, except for history that will come. Synopsis would be, after viewing a strangely...
If there is a history.
Oh, my God. There goes Eric. After viewing a strangely familiar video nasty, Enid, a film censor, sets out to solve the past mystery of her sister's disappearance, embarking on a quest that dissolves the line between fiction and reality. That was more concise than the movie.
Damn.
But
really, I didn't think the movie needed to be. I mean, it's just there wasn't a whole lot to the fucking plot of the movie.
There wasn't.
That is also true.
And it was like, it didn't have to be because you knew from the start you're going to see her unravel.
I didn't know that.
It's in the fucking trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's really in the trailer. It's all just her like doing shit.
This movie's a lot of like.
Well, I mean, when it starts off and she's like fucking boring. But in the trailer, she's all doing crazy shit. Like, you know, she's going to unravel.
The trailer was, well.
Anyways, so I just want to preface this whole thing with this movie is, it looks like it's like set in like the early 1980s. Video Nasties, it's in England. So it's 1980s in England. And back then, horror movies that had explicit violence, sex, gore were censored or banned by the British government. And they were like called video nasties, and you could like there's a black market for shit like Evil Dead because it was too horrible. And there's so many homages and references and literal Evil Deads in this movie censor.
Absolutely.
So this movie takes place in that culture. I don't think the video nasties still exist. I'm not sure about that. I think it's like a free-for-all, especially with the fucking internet. You can't really type that. But back then, back when like VHS, England like led the world in like VHS videos. And so, you know, the government set up a department of video nasties too.
Because that's what was causing all the world's problems were horror movies.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It was the original violent video game, you know, discussion. And so the government actually watched as many horror movies as they could.
Yeah, they had their own fucking committee. Government-funded taxpayer money.
Like, there's a bit of like historical, you know, nonfiction in this movie, which was great. And as a movie in general, I've never seen anybody, you know, it's kind of meta in the fact that it's a horror movie taking place in, you know, the censorship department of the, you know, the video nasties. But just having something set was, I thought that was amazing. It's a setting that we've never seen before in a culture that is not explored on TV.
That was my favorite part. And I could easily see myself being one of those people that were like sitting there smoking a cigarette, looking at the movies.
Dude, literally, that's what I was going to bring up, is that this is like your dream job.
I could see myself drinking coffee, smoking a cigarette, back in the 80s, watching this movie, be like, damn, we can't put this shit out. And then I just put the VHS tape in my fucking briefcase.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, literally, like, I just imagine you the entire time. But, like, you manspreading and, like, you're just, like, scratching your crotch and you're just like, this is dope.
This is dope.
Like, just live it. Yeah, like, you're in a recliner in, like, underwear and a wife beater.
But that would, like, that would still be me.
Yeah.
Nah.
Everybody's doing actually. Job.
I would probably be like in a straight up business suit, like full fucking, but this is my fucking profession.
The career.
Yeah. And I'm taking this seriously, but I am taking these home. Like the part where she like walks into the room and the guy and the female are watching a movie and he just is like, hello, we're working. Get the fuck out. Like that would be me.
Yeah.
That'd be me.
Exactly.
I think actually we'd all get fired. We'd like keep passing everything. It wasn't that bad. I mean, it's like he fucked the stump of the head. And it's like,
I don't know. In the '80s though.
Yeah.
No, I would.
Well, it's a gorehound's dream job, but as a gorehound, we would suck at that job. They need people with like, you know, moral fiber.
No, they need me. Somebody who can go both ways.
Yeah. To go both ways.
Yeah. I would be like, nah, you can't put this out. This is fucking terrible, but I'm going to rewatch this shit when I get home.
Yeah. But for you, it'd be like, Eric, once again, you are flapping in the room. And this is 40 years before the word flapping existed. And just once this is the Majesty's censor room. You can't be masturbating. Please, please stop masturbating to these films.
It's like having a drug addict DEA agent. He's going to be real good at his job.
Yeah.
But he may take some home.
He's working Vice and he like gets some kid and like puts an arm bar on him. He's like, give me what you got.
You son of a bitch, you know what this thing does to people?
And he takes it and he's like, get out of here.
Snorts the line off of his car. Like,
get the fuck out of here, don't look at me. Anyway.
Fucking punk kid.
So this, okay, the premise of this movie is pretty fucking basic in the fact that we have our main character is a you know, by the books, by the numbers, like the most rigid censor at this bureau, Enid. And we're kind of like led into her life as a censor and then her like lonely private life. But then also she has a history of where as a child, her sister went missing. And it's kind of convoluted in like what actually, the whole movie's convoluted, but it's kind of convoluted in like what actually happened. But
is it convoluted or is it just like ambiguous? Or
it just sounds like they weren't supposed to go out into the woods.
Her parents kind of blame her.
Yeah, and she was just like snuck out her little sister to go play in the woods, and then she got lost. So they blamed, you know, as one of those, we told you never to go out there by yourself, and you had to take her with you, and
like lost and maybe abducted.
The wrong daughter died.
Or abducted. But yeah, they also had like this whole, and then like none of this is a spoiler really. It's like, you know, she, you know, her sister's missing and like she's like kind of living with the, like the guilt of like her fault, her parents legally declaring her sister dead so that they can like move on and like to get past it and move on with their lives. And that kind of triggers the catalyst for this, you know, Enid. Because she thinks they give like also a history of her like thinking that she's found her missing sister grown up.
She's constantly doing it is what it sounds like. She's always like, I think I just saw her. You know, she was in the phone booth on Main Street and her parents are like, dude, it's been 20 years. She's dead.
Yeah. And we have she finds while watching one of these video nasties that there is a movie that has a similar premise to like what happened to her sister in real life. And then also sees a movie starring an actress, Alice Lee, who she thinks looks like her. It looks like her sister.
And she said it looks like the police sketch of what they think she would look like now.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of people also, you know, kind of like say they look, you know, similar throughout the movie. And that is kind of the start of like her unraveling. Or she thinks this Alice Lee is her sister and thinks that these horror is like, what's, I can't remember the fucking director's name.
Frederick North.
Frederick North had a hand in abducting her sister and put her in these horror movies, like some, you know,
based
like
on
30
what
years
he said to her.
That's when, I mean, that's basically when the movie begins. And that's like, and this is, it takes like 45 minutes for this movie to like get into like,
yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was noticing that because I was kind of like, it needs to get going. But at the same time, like, I wasn't extremely bored.
No, I was interested in what was going on at the video.
Yeah.
Bureau. Like, I was like psyched.
Exactly. I was like all into that part. I was like, nothing's really happening.
That whole setting is really the key to the movie.
I'm glad you guys like that because I was like the whole, I stopped, I actually like, you know, stopped for a second to think like nothing's really happened and all we're getting is kind of a little bit of backstory and a view at what she does. And I was thinking, I wonder how you guys are going to actually think about this.
No, I mean, like, it was very interesting. And like, honestly, if there was just a movie about that, like in a very serious tone, like without anything else, I think that would be a good movie in general, you know?
Yeah, the setting was super rich, like just like very interesting, very rich.
You could taste it.
You could have taken this movie almost anywhere with just like, you know, just if someone came to the table and is like, it's the 1980s, we're in England, we're in the video nasties, we're watching all the fucking old school horror movies, all the nastiest like smut fucking horror movies. And then like, it just, you could go anywhere from there. You could go revenge. You could go paranormal. You could go psychological. You could go anywhere in that shit. So,
exactly.
I mean,
So, I mean like that starting point, that jumping off point, that was perfect.
It's riding real high with the, like the popularity of like the gritty olden days, like kind of with, was it Mindhunter and stuff like that. And the Child Atlanta murders and stuff like that, where it's just like,
it's very true crimey.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, there's no crime, but yeah, it's very gritty.
Yeah. It's like that, David Fincher type of vibe.
Yeah. That it's such a good setting. So the first half of this movie, I liked a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, let's get into the second half.
Let's.
Yeah. We get into the second half where things get a little more,
let's just talk about
it. Yeah. I mean, basically she meets, there's this dude, I don't remember, I think he's a distributor, Doug Smart, played by Michael Smiley. I think that's what it was. He distributes the Frederick North films. And Michael Smiley, you know, he was in Come to Daddy, where he basically plays this almost the same character. He was in Spaced. He played Tires. He was in Shaun of the Dead. He's in a lot of stuff lately. And he's kind of like this like CD like movie producer, and she goes to like talk to him about like, you know, is Alice Lee, like, what is she doing? Like, how did she come about? Where'd she come from? You know, trying to suss out this mystery. And so he's like a nasty dude, and like just like comes on her and starts getting all rapey, which I really thought was in bad taste of like, he's the guy that you exactly think he was, and he's associated with these horror movies, so he's like a nasty guy. And I kind of didn't like that aspect of it, because that's just like too stereotypical. But she accidentally murders him.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that was real at first, but they made it very graphic and very painful that it was very real.
Yeah. It was kind of awkward, like, because you could kind of tell she's fucking losing it. So you're like, is this her hallucinating or her having a fucking psychotic break? But no, he was fucking dead.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, because earlier, like, what we didn't really mention is that there's this video called Don't Go Into the Church. It's a Frederick North film. And when she watches that triggers, like, we don't know if it's hallucinations or, like, weird thoughts or whatever, but she's going in and out of this fantasized version of that movie with her and her sister in it. And she starts to, like, go into, like, fugue states where she's just like going from one place to another. Like, she'll end up at her house, she'll end up at the office, she'll end up all these different places, and then she'll like just wind up at, boom, this producer's house, right?
Yeah, it's very disjointed.
It's very disjointed, and did not like that about the movie, but...
I can't believe you guys get the best part at the fucking movie store.
It was Eric's best fucking favorite part.
The best part. Like, yeah, like, it was almost like asking at an old like video store, where's your porn stash? Do you have a back room?
She's trying to find more of this Frederick North movies and goes to like a rental store, and basically like they deal like the horror movies under the counter on this like black market. And like, so she, you know, gets wise to that and is asking the guy, but he doesn't know her, he's never seen her, and she's like this straight laced lady.
I've never seen you here before.
And she's like, I know you have it.
I just moved here.
I love the whole thing where he's just like, he won't make eye contact with her. He's just like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, he's like, the jig is up. Are you a cop?
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. And then he's just like pretending he doesn't have anything. And then like two seconds later, he's like, you know what? Fuck it. This place is going to fucking shut down anyways.
Yeah.
Fuck this place. Yeah, I got what they're fucking looking for.
And immediately the first thing you said was, did you see Elliot at the movie store?
Yeah. I was like, that's Elliot. That's how Elliot responds. He's just like,
fuck it. The place is going to get shut down.
Yeah, anyway. Fuck it. I don't give a fuck anyways.
A strong woman talking to me, I can't make eye contact or like be directly in front of her. And I just keep like mumbling and like, but then you press me long enough, I'm just like, fuck it, who gives a shit? It's all burning down anyways. You want it? Okay. It's not worth the space. It goes from the gritty, like, kind of like smoky, like green pill light of, you know, the Censor Bureau to, like, we get like these like Mandy colors of like hot pinks and like, you know, fog and just like these weird blues and stuff like that. And it starts getting like real, you know, kind of trippy as we're going from place to place, and she's kind of losing more and more edge, and the camera work's getting like more like floatier.
Which they do really, that like when it goes into those scenes, I feel like they did it really well, especially with like the red, like VHS like look, like it had like a weird phasing, like a red phasing.
Yeah, I mean, this is directed by Prano Bailey Bond. I've never heard of her work, so I don't know if this is her first film or what, but I can click and find out. She's done that looks like,
give me a goddamn second,
some short movies. Nasty, The Trip. I think this movie was based on a short called Nasties, but she's a great director. I mean, her cinematography is on point, and this is a great looking movie, and it's a great acted movie. So she's doing very well, as is the character Enid, Nima Algar, who's just kind of like tripped out at this point. But the movie gets so floaty, it kind of like floats away. a little bit too much.
Kind of similar to St. Maud.
Dude, this is total. The end of this movie is St. Maud. The very ending is St. Maud.
Kind of forgets where it was going.
It's almost
It's like ambiguous. Like it's but it's also like not. I don't know. It's just like airy and like.
She gets so far into her delusion that, and like we're seeing the delusion, and she's like dressed the same almost as like at the end of St. Maud, and then we're just getting the, like it goes into. Basically, she gets wrapped up and like tracks down like Frederick North and gets involved in a horror movie with who she thinks her sister is. And like hijinks ensue, shit goes crazy.
Real quick aside.
Yes.
How fucking low budget is this movie that she walked onto the set and the fucking lady's like, you're fucking late. And she said, what are you talking about? You're obviously in the movie because we're in the middle of nowhere and nobody else has fucking shown up. So let me just, you look way different than you do in your picture.
Yeah. You're not blind or weird looking at it, but I mean,
they just use her anyway. How low budget is it that they just use her anyway?
Yeah, they're just like, come here, let me put some fucking lipstick on you and go do whatever the fuck it says.
At that fucking
the director obviously knows that she's not like Alice Lee, but then the director's just like,
well, she's not supposed to be Alice Lee. Alice Lee.
No, she's not?
No, she's supposed to be another character.
Yeah, she's another actress. Alice, she's playing her sister in the movie. Alice Lee, because in the scene it's the man beast or whatever is holding Alice Lee.
Can I just say that the man beast was like literally the worst thing in the movie?
No, the fucking man beast and this whole like her showing up to the trailer in the middle of the woods is like fucking straight Twin Peaks is like Twin Peaks bullshit where it's just like,
yeah, it was Lynchian. Yeah, actually, yes, because the beast man reminded me so much of Bob.
Yeah, it's the whole thing was like it got very David Lynchy and
but not in a good way. It literally just ripped it off. It literally ripped off the vibe of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it used it as a tool. You know, we're hardcore reality based in the beginning. And then it uses it as a tool to just like skip over the fact that, yeah, no one recognizes her. She has no credentials. She doesn't know what she's doing. That she's just going to go in here that, you know, and the man beast is like, and which is weird because there's a series called Man Beast that we see in a theater. And in that room where like she interrupts that dude and a lady watching a movie is a man beast movie starring Alice Lee. And then now the set of the film she's on is Don't Go Into the Church 2, which they're promoting as like a crossover with Man Beast. And so I'm like, I'm not following the fucking, you know, the.
Yeah. Like, what is this? Abbott and Costello meet like Frankenstein? Yeah, like, what I'm are like, you doing here?
How many Alice Lee Man Beast movies are there? And or is it just like, supposed to know. Like comment on Frederick North using the same characters and actors in every movie.
I think that's what it was supposed to say, but I don't think it really like I think it was supposed to imply that, but I think that they were not concentrating on that.
But I mean, so basically, I mean, hijinks ensue. We don't really need to go into it if we want to keep some kind of air of mystery for people who watch this movie.
I mean, really, like what?
Literally, all the way up until this point, there are no spoilers other than, you know.
Yeah, this is all
that one accidental murder, but like it pops off. But like in this whole point, it's like we're just along for a ride and nothing's like really happening until, you know, she has this like St. Maud moment and it turns into it's like David Lynch into high tension into fucking St. Maud basically at the end. And well, and it goes into like this weird, like when she goes nuts. It's weird because we're in the film because they're shooting the film. So it goes into like, it's like we're watching the movie that they're shooting and then it goes out of that into reality, but then goes into like this like VHS, like, you know, one by one ratio. And that's like the rest of the movie. And we're like in this VHS of her delusion. And it kind of like the VHS, like when it like tracking skips, right? Or we get these like flashes of like reality and like what's really happening. And obviously this Alice Lee person is not her sister and does not agree with what's going on.
I wish they would have paused a little or extended those like glimpses a little bit more, just one more second. Cause I kept rewinding to see what the fuck was happening. Like the expression on a girl's face on Alice Lee, like was pretty fucking dope.
The parents like was really goofy when you pause it. Her mom was just like, what the fuck? And then her dad was just like confused.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, I would have liked to seen this movie a little more literal and a little more like breaks in the delusion.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot better. I mean,
if they would have gone the way of like high tension. Remember the end where she's like kind of half in and half out of her delusion? Like we're seeing both.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see that. Like we're seeing the point of view through the Alice Lee character, but then we get glimpses of what Enid is looking at.
It's should have like more breaks. I wish like at the end, it just seems like the script just kind of like we ran out. We in it like yeah. It got really Lynchian, it got really high tension, and then it ended with the Saint Maud, and which was all shit. You know, obviously, since I'm naming shit that I've already seen, this is shit I've already seen. And
yeah. I would argue it's not that original. I'm gonna be honest. Like I didn't think it was original, except for the, you know, the setting.
Yeah, first half of the movie is original. The second half is a hodgepodge of all the confusing horror movies and shit that we've seen.
And it all starts when she's looking at the North movie. And it's a ripoff of Evil Dead.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's like it's going full homage.
There's a lot of fucking homage to Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also credit to this movie. They showed a lot of legit real scenes from legit real old school horror movies.
That's what, yeah.
Which is nice to see. It wasn't all just like fake bullshit that they made. And it was all like Wizard of Gore shit. It was nice to see that.
Yeah.
And their like discussion was nice because they're in this like professional environment discussing like the ridiculous things. Also, you know, like the subject of rape came up with like women reviewing rape and like the how society views rape and how, you know, as women they view rape, but also as women in society, how they're expected to review rape. So, I mean, the beginning was all, I'm all for it. The end just like fell apart. I would have logged. It's just like.
And, you know, and we didn't even mention, you know, how they cut some stuff from this one movie and some guy supposedly watched it and murdered his whole family.
Oh, yeah. The subplot.
Like that, honestly, that could have, if that was expanded out more, that could have been a better movie than this movie ended up being.
Yeah, that was like this like weird red herring that they had that went nowhere. It's basically like this dude.
It didn't go nowhere. It was like a in passing when Enid's going through her whole like, you know, phasing in and out. Her coworkers in the background were talking about how the amnesiac killer?
Yeah.
How he never even watched the movie.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Or it goes nowhere where they like hype it up and it's like this big thing for this character.
But the thing is, like, she was getting death threats and calls and shit like that. And that's what kind of triggered.
Oh, you're saying that helped pushed over the edge?
Absolutely. Yeah. She was going through like, she was not sleeping. Like, she was like anxious that her work, like, you know, that, or she thought she might get fired or some shit. Like, that kind of anxiety is absolutely what caused her to go over the edge.
And her rescuing her sister was supposed to be like her saving grace.
Yeah, like it's like when you get on like an episode, whenever you're losing your grip on reality, you have this one mission. And if that thing doesn't pan out, you have a mental break.
Yeah, especially, I mean, it very much tells you when she's chasing the girl, she falls and she's like, I'm not your sister. It's like, you have to be her.
Yeah, and she keeps like, you know, over and over and over. Like, and I like how they just sprinkled that in there like passively, like 3/4 of the way through the movie. So, you know, like, oh shit, whatever's about to happen has nothing to do with it. Yeah. So like, I get that. But to be honest, the way the movie ended was not as satisfying as that plot line.
No, the movie is not ending satisfying. It was not satisfying. And as meticulous as this movie was and as smart as they were, it's
very disappointing.
Extremely. Also, here's two things. An axe isn't a sword. An axe is a wedge and is basically, when you're using it for the purposes of murder, is a bludgeoning tool. You're not going to like have like katana-like things happen with precision. This axe. So I was upset about that.
You don't know how sharp it was.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, dude.
What if the counterweight was like strong enough for it to slice through?
That's the Eric's back, baby.
Yeah, Eric's the devil's advocate. But also, like, how come the gore in all these old movies from the 70s and 80s is better than the gore in this 2021 film?
Ouch.
That was
my main, not my main grievance, but like a huge grievance for me is that with this kind of movie, with this subject matter, so precise in every other way, why the hell did they think that they could get away with having just the shoddiest fucking gore?
If you're going to have like gore from all these other movies that are legendary for gore and have the, like this gore centric thing, like, and if, and granted, there's not a lot of gore in this movie, but when they put it in, you think you'd try.
Yeah, like, but the thing is, like, you know, even in the trailer, like, you kind of get the vibe, like, okay, yeah, she's going to spiral or whatever. But you also get the vibe that this is going to be something where you get to the end and you're like, oh shit, this is, something's going to happen. Something's going to like blow my mind about this movie. And at the end, you just, it's just like the extremely subpar.
So you want to get to your judgments?
No.
No? What are we doing here?
Damn it, I already forgot what I was going to say. Fucking Hunter.
My bad.
Always talking on a talking podcast.
I get so wrapped up when Hunter talks that like I forget where I'm at.
He gets enraged at every word that Hunter says.
He's just like, oh my God, shut up and make your point or don't.
Hunter's talking. Oh, no, I was agreeing with you because I was going to point out how I kind of fucking just scoffed at when she killed the producer. He was a producer. What was he?
I don't even know.
The distributor dude.
The distributor dude. Yeah. And with that fucking trophy. And of course they have to take a shot from the side where the trophy is supposed to be coming out of his mouth, but is very obviously just sticking out of the other side of his head.
Yeah. And like, there's no way like he would be still alive if that went straight through the back of his head.
Well, they didn't even fucking, it just like looks so obvious. Like you could see there's a difference in distance. And it's just like, you didn't even do a good job of that. Like,
nah,
you could have at least
tried.
Well,
like they did not try in any of the horror parts of this movie. And that is my big gripe.
Well, like right after that, they have the actual trophy shoved in his mouth. Like, why couldn't you have taken a fucking side shot of when it was actually in his mouth?
I don't fucking get it.
Yeah. All right.
If you watch that movie, Come to Daddy, Michael Smiley has a more satisfying death. If anybody's interested in that.
I thought that movie was fucking boring as shit.
Yeah, he had a better death.
It doesn't even matter.
It doesn't.
Like, it doesn't matter because Come to Daddy is, like, so fucking boring.
I remember you were so excited to watch that movie. We're waiting for it to come out. And I could just imagine how disappointed you were.
Did you see it?
I saw, like, half an hour of it, and I just quit.
You turned it off?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I'm wasting my time right now.
Fair enough.
That was a better movie.
That was a better movie. Well,
to do's
the,
and to
the turning off part was the better movie?
It was better than
this movie?
Censor Mod.
Damn. All right, so who wants to go first?
Well, it goes Eric, you, and me.
Oh, that is true. We did discuss this, yeah.
I'm going to give it a to-do.
Okay.
This is a very little ginger petite little
yeah. To-do. You like, that's like a little pepper, you know? I'm going
to
give it...
It's the movie is interesting to watch. I enjoyed the movie, but there is that lack of satisfaction that makes me kind of want to give it a to-don't. But I'm able to look past that and just go and just, I'm a sucker for fucking movies with people unraveling. So that started off on the movie on the plus side. And I was really into the video nasty part, the watching how they did their job and her whole transformation from being this meek, nerdy girl to just full fucking breakdown. I enjoyed that part. But like I said, the ending was not satisfying enough. But I'll give it a to do. I think it's worth the watch. I think it's worth people to kind of be able to draw their own opinion. I mean, there's some movies where I would tell you just don't even bother. But if you've got time, you could do a lot worse. I'm anxious to see what the director is going to do next.
I'll second that hard.
Yeah.
Like this director's fantastic. That's why it's just like, very disappointing that.
Yeah, it's like when you eat like a really delicious food with a shitty aftertaste.
It almost feels like the director quit like 3/4 of the way through the movie, and then they were just like, you know, maybe the producer or something like kind of had to take over and just like kind of wrap it.
Yeah, they probably were at the studio or whatever was probably like, we're not going to pay you anymore, sir. The fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. Right, like the funding's just like done. But I'll go next because that's just how it goes. But this movie. I will start off by saying this. I did like the setting. I did like the VHS aspects of it. Like, really, it did give you, like, kind of an immersive feeling of being in that time. Like, you really felt like you're there.
This really makes me feel like when I'm about to get fired. You're just giving me a bunch of, like, little compliments, but we're going to have to let you go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what we're trained to do. It's called the sandwich approach. I don't, honestly, y'all, I'm very conflicted about this movie because it did so many things right that I not even like the good movies did right. The whole first 30 minutes is like killer. Like if they could make this like a true crime movie, it would be like an 8 out of 10.
Or just like maybe like a Ring type movie that like you're not supposed to watch it and shit happens.
Yeah, like The Ring, but you know what it made me think of? This is what the feeling of the Grudge remake, the latest Grudge, should have felt like. And that's, I think that's what they were trying to go for with that Grudge movie. I think this is like the nail on the head, what vibe they were trying to go for.
That fucking Grudge movie, I forget that existed. That shit was so, I missed the mark so fucking hard.
It just keeps coming back to me, the Grudge movie, because it's just such a fucking fuck up of a movie.
It saw something good that is popular, tried to do it, and just like missed and fell a million feet down to its death.
Another movie that was released in January. Thank you. My point reinforced. With that, like I said, I'm very conflicted. I want to give this movie a to don't. I really do, because I didn't like it. Like, I walked away with it. I was bored. You know, after they get to the whole her unraveling, it does start to get hazy. You're going from one scene to another. Like, it was kind of hard to keep up. Like, you had to just, like, stick with it and, like, pay close attention. And I've seen enough movies where the main protagonist is losing it. And honestly, I've seen this plot before. I've seen this plot so many times in horror movies. Girl loses her sister when she was young, or even guy loses his sister or relative or brother or whatever when they're young. That's a setup to go find them, right? Like, we've seen it in the Blair Witch remake. We've seen it in so many, like, countless indie movies.
I mean, we also see it a lot in real life, so we can't just...
No, I know. But I get that. It's just, I've seen this movie before and I've seen it done better in a horror aspect. So like what this movie was trying to go for, it didn't succeed. It did not make an entertaining horror movie. Did it make like a really entertaining setup? Yes. That first 30 minutes was just so interesting. It had me like glued to the screen. Like I didn't know a lot about that Video Nasty stuff. I'm younger, you know, that I missed that whole thing. So to me, it was almost like an educational, like, piece in a way.
I had to explain the whole thing to my wife and she's like, what the fuck, that was real? I was like, yeah.
Well, and then I watched it with Kinsey too, and like Kinsey was just like, okay, you know, like this is interesting. And then like she felt the same way that I did. Like she's watching it and then like it just kind of meanders like into nothing, and she thought the gore was good, you know, when the trophy came out of his mouth, like that was so cool. And I'm like, all right, whatever, dude.
Whatever.
But
get out, like, of my sight.
I fucking hate you. Glad I cheated on you.
I'm gonna have to edit that shit out.
Yeah. Why? But one of the big things that bothered me was that, I don't know if you guys got that, but it kind of alluded to that her job was part of why she went fucking crazy. Not just the her getting the phone calls, but her watching gory shit all the time was supposed to be why she fucking went crazy. But they kind of didn't play that out.
No, they didn't. And that's the thing, too. Like, this should have been a slam dunk for, like, how horror movies and gore movies don't actually, like, influence your decisions in your life. But it kind of confirmed that.
A little bit, yeah.
Like, so it doesn't make any sense. Like, I mean, I guess you could, one could say like, oh, well, you know what? It doesn't confirm that because the amnesiac killer didn't even watch the movies, right? It's the overwhelming like vibe of the movie that she went crazy because of this
not so much because of it, but it's like these movies in the hands of somebody who's already mentally unstable, you get this shit. So right. it's still basically the same thing. Like these movies can't be viewed by everybody.
Well, I mean, and so, with that being said, like, I think there will be some people that like this. And this movie's got like, what, a 59% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I get it. You want to like it, and you know there's talent behind it.
5.7 on IMDb.
Too. Right. Like, I didn't like it, but I think that other people will like it.
That was the longest, like, do you like this movie or do you not like this movie ever?
And I'm pretty conflicted. Confused.
Yeah. Do you, what is it? Are you like, he doesn't know. He didn't make the decision.
It's the fucking watch it if you want to. I don't give a fuck anymore.
Are you a tomato? You're going to go tomato?
I'm gonna do this because like it was incredibly disappointing to me. I'm going to give it a to don't. And then I am going to say with the caveat that if this setting seems interesting to you, then I would go ahead and give it a watch just for that alone. You're not going to be satisfied with the horror elements. There's nothing horror to grab onto here.
All right, so it's a to-do and a to-don't, and then mine would be, well, I'm with you, fellas. Okay. I'm gonna give it a to do. I'm basically in the exact same boat as Eric, where like the setting in the first half is pretty amazing, and then it just kind of like walks out and it's not satisfying, but it's acted terrifically, shot majestically, directed masterfully.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like I wanna stress though that like I'm giving it to don't, like for my own, like just my own biases, but it really like this is almost like one of those possessor to don'ts. Like I'm pretty sure I gave possessor a to don't, or I gave it a to do, and then I said like, but I didn't like the movie. Like, but it's a good, well made movie. It's just not my type.
He didn't get it. He didn't understand it.
There's just so much in this movie to like, and so much to not like.
Well, at least Possessor was a fully like cohesive good movie, but I didn't really care for it.
Like
this movie, half of it is like really, really good, and then just dog shit.
I wish this movie had the fucking gore that Possessor did.
Me too. Jesus. Where's the horror? Dude. Where's the horror in this movie? We try to pick a horror movie
on the TV screen that they're watching.
What this movie needed is like you have.
I guess you're right. You got me there.
Show what they need to do. Show as much of the gore from the movies that they're watching with like that fucking bright red paint blood with like the wacky foam heads, all that shit. They need to show that, and then what they needed to do is funnel a lot of fucking money into some just like the possessor gore, that not that super gory shit, but that a matter of fact like textbook gore, and then like have her like. In the movie, you know, where it's like, you know, the movie that they're shooting, but we're in her delusion, like with some like stupid fucking gore, and then cut from that shit to just some like straight, a matter of fact, you know, no silly pants gore that's just like fucking like disturbing to like jar you back. Like that would have been really nice, man.
It wouldn't take much for me to turn this into a to do. Like they really could have just done a little bit better with the horror, and I would have given it to do.
Yeah, a little bit more added to the movie towards the end, and this could have been an instant classic.
Or classic in general, yeah.
No, there we go.
It did it.
We're just spinning the same yarn.
I know. All right, so that is Censor. This week, it is my turn to recommend a movie.
Yay!
I will say, I'm starting to run out of movies that I actually like.
You're certainly going into the sci-fi genre, but
I knew that was coming.
Just gave up on horror, apparently.
Listen. So, you know, I was looking.
Castle Freak.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What?
What?
What did you watch?
Castle Freak. What was your pick?
Banshee Chapter.
Was it? I don't know what that is.
Well, this is fun.
Where's Banshee Sheep?
Banshee Sheep.
Are you joking?
What's a Banshee Sheep?
The Banshee Sheep Project.
I can't tell if he's joking.
Well, I don't watch no Banshee Sheep. Oh, it's Castle Freak.
Great. Better be playing.
I don't know what a Banshee Sheep is. I don't watch no Banshee Sheeps.
All right, so this week I chose a movie called Banshee Chapter. And Banshee Chapter.
I thought we were watching Scream of the Banshee.
You going to do this to me too? First Castle Freak, now this?
Bro, you're serious? The made-for-TV movie, Scream of the Banshee, with Lance Henriksen. Lance Henriksen is in the movie, right?
Banshee Chapter is a 2014 movie that kind of one of those movies where I saw it around the time where like the indie horror was getting more mainstream on Netflix, along with like Resolution and movies like that, where I'm just like, hey, you know what? Horror ain't so bad anymore.
There's still a little spark left in the old girl.
So I watched this movie a long time ago. Watching it again, it's not as good as I remember, but it's still one that I would recommend. So let's talk a little bit about this movie. Banshee Chapter synopsis. Journalist Anne Roland explores the disturbing links behind her friend's sudden disappearance. An ominous government research chemical and a disturbing radio broadcast of unknown origin. Banshee Chapter. By the way, you watch this motherfucker on YouTube and also Tubi. I saw it on Tubi, technically.
Yeah, it's on to buy. And I don't know if this might entice people, but in the opening credits, they kind of tell you about government conspiracies. Mm-hmm. And they allude to this being part of the MK Ultra experiments.
Allude to it? It's like the fucking entire first 3 minutes.
Yeah. If you are familiar with the MK Ultra experiments, this might give you
a boner,
a little bit of an impetus to watch it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, what I really like about this movie is really a lot of different parts of it. But the thing that I thought was really cool about it is it merges a lot of different like niche interests that people have with certain movies. So like there's some people that like conspiracy movies. There's some people that like faux documentaries.
This motherfucker's got all of it.
So the cool thing about this movie, it's an indie film that fans of like conspiracy theory movies, faux documentaries, and really just asking like what the fuck is happening.
Yeah. So anyways, if you don't know about the MK Ultra experiments, they were experiments by the CIA/American government where they were trying basically to create super agents. We were in the middle of the Cold War, so they were trying to do anything and figure out anything. And they were experimenting with a lot of chemicals. Specifically, this is where we get LSD from. They were trying to figure out what happens to people if we give them certain chemicals. And this is an offshoot of that. But instead of them getting LSD, what they got was some kind of different chemical.
It was DMT. They got DMT-19.
DMT-19. That's
right. Yeah, so if... So any of you fucking druggies out there, any of you fucking addicts, this is DMT. You heard of it.
Yeah, but it's not the regular DMT.
Nah, it's DMT-19.
This ain't Joe Rogan DMT.
Yeah, this ain't your granddaddy's DMT.
This ain't your Joe Rogan DMT.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so kind of going into it, she's trying to figure out what's going on with all of this. And it ends up leading her to a very Hunter S. Thompson writer who was very much into LSD, and she's trying to get answers from him because he might know more.
So basically this movie, it starts off with like Anne and her friend James, who's like who she's obsessed with, or he's obsessed with, or there's some kind of attraction going on there. Well, he disappears, right? And he disappears after he takes some of that DMT-19 that he gets from a friend. By the way, that friend, it's Hunter S. Thompson. But I mean, that's the whole deal. He takes the drug. Weird shit happens. What I find interesting about it is it never really goes into what happens very long after they take it. So it kind of leaves you guessing like what ends up happening. You start seeing different things, like different paranormal or maybe there's scientific mutation stuff going on. But the whole time you're just kind of trying to figure out what the fuck is happening? So, I would say the less you look up about this movie, the better. Just try to watch it with, an open mind. But also have some time to kind of just, like, get into the atmosphere of it. You know, because I want to say, like, maybe halfway through the movie, it starts to get a really nice atmosphere. Like, a really, like, airy type of consistent atmosphere that I kind of feel like Censor wishes it had. You know, like it was, I think it was trying to go for that vibe, but it just kept like missing the mark on it. So if you're into that, if you're into like atmospheric type of like spooky, suspenseful stuff, I think you're really going to like this. But, you know, more so if you find yourself being a person who loves like the X-Files, it kind of gives me an X-Files vibe.
It kind of reminds me of that Devil's Pass.
A little bit, because it kind of goes into the conspiracy type stuff. But if you're like really into like the MK Ultra stuff and, you know, all the stuff that had happened with that, this might piss you off a little bit, but it might also kind of make you want to go.
Whistle.
Yeah. Make you wet your whistle.
A little bit of the Jacob's Ladder lore.
Yeah.
Jacob's Ladder. Yeah. It does remind me of that. I will say this too. Like, it's not the best acting.
Ted Levine fucking rocked it though.
Yeah, but he rocks everything he does.
He's the only actor.
All right, I want you to be the only real actor. You're probably right.
Yeah.
The director was like, all right, I want you to be Hunter S. Thompson. Go.
He's probably like, I smoked weed with Hunter S. Thompson in 76. He's a good guy.
He's dead though, but but I mean, yeah, like just really, really not the best acting from everybody else. Also, the dialogue is kind of weak. You know, and I will say that the camera probably drove Elliot absolutely insane.
I don't like how it goes to like the found footage feel or documentary feel, and then it turns into like a looks like it's shot like a regular movie, and then it goes back into that.
It stays. Yeah. It keeps that whole like found footage style, even when it's not even being found footage. And that, it was kind of not great.
You know, like
that.
You don't, yeah, it's, if you're going to have a break, have a break. It's like, that was that fucking stupid fucking, like, The Fourth Kind or some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I love that movie, though.
Stupid. And
one of my favorite Alien
mixing,
movies.
Mixing, like, the found footage with the cinema, you know, cinematographic.
Cinnamon toast
Cinnabons. Crunch. The cinematic scope, like, I mean, that's just, come on, guys.
But, I mean, yeah, like, so it's, I do realize that me saying that I am not into sci-fi and then like suggesting this movie is just opening the gate for y'all to just continue your bullshit.
Yeah,
about
when you picked that movie, I messaged Elliot on the side and I was like, FYI, he picked a fucking sci-fi movie. Load up and get ready to fucking unload on this guy.
What I said, that was a Banshee Chapter is the name of the spaceship.
He's like, is that the name of the fucking spaceship?
Honestly, that'd be a dope name for a spaceship.
Make a spaceship.
Fucking maybe I will.
Your DMT fucking constructs a spaceship. You and Joe fucking Rogan.
God damn it. Don't you talk to me about
Joe Rogan.
Get Hunter S. Thompson and then get Buffalo Bill and you guys can keep going.
Shit. I mean, like, I really don't have too much else to say about the movie, really. Like, it's one of those things where, like, if you have an hour and a half and you're looking for something, I don't know, maybe a little different, and you're feeling adventurous, I would watch Banshee Chapter. I'd give it a go. But, I mean, what do y'all think?
I like this movie. I was kind of in the same boat with you. I remember stumbling upon this movie and The Conspiracy, that's what it was.
Yeah.
I kind of ran into both of these, like, almost meet, like, together. But I really enjoyed this movie. It's not a blockbuster movie. It's not a fucking made-for-theaters type movie. But I think a lot of people will enjoy this movie, and a lot of people will not.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, like, it's got a 42% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is... I know for a fact it was higher back when we watched it. Like, I think it was like a 60 or 70 back then. But over time, I believe it has not aged well compared to like some of the other movies that have come out recently. Yeah. But back then it was a hit. It was a bangaroo.
This is a banger.
I'm on IMDb and apparently Christopher Nolan was attached to direct this at one point.
Jesus. How?
I don't know.
He backed out and saved his career.
This
movie it borrows a lot from X-Files.
It does. That's what I'm saying.
It's like an X-Files.
That's what I said.
It's like X-Files, but like it borrows like heavily. But no, it's okay as in an X-Files movie was okay.
I mean, hey, no, yeah.
Damn,
not
this
wrong.
Movie is all over the place.
A lot of people are like, this is my favorite movie ever.
But I'm like going through the trivia on IMDb and I'm reading on here. The original script was intended to be a first draft for U-Bowl's adaptation of Alone in the Dark.
What?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Okay.
And it's like, I wonder if they just fucking made a movie and then edited the fuck out of it to make it look however they wanted to make it look. Like, how do they?
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Like, how did they transform it to so many?
It looks like a fucking made for TV movie.
It does. Yeah. It does. It seems like a sci-fi original or something.
Yeah, it's got like that. It's too smooth.
Yeah, it's
too smooth, and the camera's too close.
Yeah, the camera is too close. I'll give you that. Like, it's not like you don't look at this movie and think like, "Wow, like the director really killed it here." It's you don't get that sensor vibe from the style of the movie. It's definitely not an A movie. It's barely a B movie, but it's also, I don't know, fairly enjoyable to me. Elliot, what did you like or not like about it? I thought you would have way more opinions than this.
He's like, it's a movie.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I was trying to like look, like it looks terrible.
Oh, it's awful. It looks terrible.
It looks real awful. But I mean, you're dealing from, I don't know. It's like I'm saying, it's okay.
I feel like the subject matter saves the movie.
The subject matter is okay. The movie looks fucking awful. So I don't really know. Like it reminds me of The Devil's Pass, where it's like, this is stupid, but I'm interested because I want to know what's going on. And then at the end is just kind of like, okay, well, yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that.
But, I mean, yeah, it's like, it's the most interesting thing going on in the world of Tremors 4 is what it feels like.
Dude. Okay.
It just looks so bad, but I mean,
it really does.
The camera's always just like floating around everybody's shoulder and it's like real close and it's like smooth, like a soap opera. And it's like, and like the fake ass static and shit. And
yeah,
but I mean, I've seen worse. It's like an X-Files episode that's really long. So, I mean,
yeah. And like, I would never have known that if I hadn't been watching the X-Files like recently. I would have never made the connection, but like, this is, if you like the X-Files,
you should watch the X-Files.
You should watch the X-Files.
Damn, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that like the black eyes and stuff. And
that was pretty X-Files. But I don't know, man. Like, I thought it was pretty interesting, pretty entertaining. So, I mean, I obviously give it a to-do. Eric, you?
I give it a to-do. Why the fuck not?
This is like grain of salt type stuff. I mean, with these reviews, it's not like I'm not really critical until you like give me something horrible and then I'll attack you. But I mean, like, it's real bad. But like, I think we're conditioned by TV, if you're old enough anyways, to like kind of lose focus of how awful it is.
Right. And I do think like the subject matter of like mixing drugs, mixing conspiracy theories, mixing whatever you want to call it, just works. And it keeps the movie afloat. But all right, well, that's I guess that's it. Banshee Chapter. Give it a shot. Check it out. It's pretty cool. Pretty fun.
Hilarious that Hunter picked it.
It's sci-fi.
Sci-fi movie. No way.
That's like if I was just like, I hate racists. I hate fucking Nazis. I hate the fucking anything fucking Nazis. You come in this room. I got like all this World War II memorabilia. This is the Hitler Youth knife I got right here. Look at all these swastika patches on the wall.
It's history, bro. That's history.
But you're like,
I love how you guys directly go to fucking Nazis.
I mean, that's the only way to get higher understanding.
Oh, God. Really? Come on, man.
You have so much to cut. Like,
oh, I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's about it. On that note, which one do you want to cover next time?
You're asking questions that we have no answer to.
Yeah.
You, the audience, what movies do y'all want us to review?
They don't know.
They don't know. They're relying on us to tell them.
Let's review the one that we didn't choose this week.
Which one was that?
Gaia?
Yeah.
Gaia, yeah, let's
do that shit.
All right, we'll do Gaia. We'll do Gaia. I will not be here next week, though.
There it is.
Yep.
Where will you be?
Whose America's birthday is it this week?
I'm going on a road trip.
Yeah, we heard that before.
Did you?
Yeah, you said that before, and then it's like, where'd you go? I was like, we didn't do it.
No, I'm going on a road trip with my friend Joey. We're going to take a trip to a few different states. We're going to go to Oklahoma, the den of hell, Kansas, maybe Missouri.
But for why?
Just to kind of fucking get out, dude. Like, I gotta get the fuck out, air out my mind. So does Joey.
Driving is so fucking boring and irritating.
Oh, I think it's cathartic.
It's not for me. I just fucking want to get out and beat people to death.
Yeah, it's really good for the environment, too, just to drive to nowhere for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, admission. You know me. But what movies...
It's your turn now.
It is my turn.
It's your turn now, buddy. Yeah, you better start.
It is my turn now, and I have no idea.
You have like 4 weeks to decide, so...
But Eric wants an answer by Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to plan my week ahead, dude. Like
2 weeks.
I got to plan my 2 weeks ahead.
This motherfucker.
On the next episode in August, we'll...
I think it will actually be in August.
You going to edit this one on the road while driving?
No. Fuck no. I need to... I was really hoping this would be an easy episode to edit for that reason, but no, I have to fucking cram that shit out.
I hope your AC goes out.
That is the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah, I had a car for fucking like 5 years with no AC. I didn't care. I barely use my AC in my car now. Ashley gets pissed.
Shit.
No shit. There's no reason why you shouldn't.
I don't even know if my windows rolled down, to be honest.
You had a drive-thru and you just punch out your window. Maria's like, just roll it down. He's like, I don't know where that button is.
Oh shit, dude.
This is the AC's on or the heat's on, one or the other.
Oh god, you know what I did watch because I was in a Toxic Crusaders bin? I watched the Toxic Avenger. I've never seen that to completion. It was not as bad.
Pretty fun.
Not as bad.
It's like really bad for a low budget, but it's actually like pretty decent to compare to like a lot of other trauma films.
Well, yeah. Definitely one of their best.
For sure.
Yeah. I was just like, oh shit. But I was also really bad. Really, really, really bad.
Really,
but it made me crazy stoked for the remake.
Tight.
Peter Dinklage, fucking Kevin Bacon.
The Dinkmeister himself.
Dinking it up, man. It's gonna be a great movie.
Wasn't he in like a ska band or some shit?
Yeah. He's in a punk band back in the day.
He was playing like the sax, I think.
Hey, no, he's vocalist.
He was?
Yeah.
Did he play guitar? He played something.
I don't know. I know I've seen pictures of him singing.
Oh well.
Is he like the best actor out right now?
I mean, he's fucking great. I don't know if he's the best actor.
Like,
but I don't know who the best actor is.
I don't know who's better than him.
I mean, yeah, he's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, he's good.
Good guy.
I think there was a movie that Station Attendant, and that was good.
Oh, see, I just saw him in Elf.
That does not surprise me.
Yeah,
I'm sure he loves it when you say, "Hey, aren't you?"
No, I mean, like, I didn't before Game of Thrones. That's the only movie I knew him from.
I've never seen no Game of Thrones.
None, then how do you fucking I've know he's a good actor?
Because I've seen his fucking movies. Like,
yeah,
which one? Like, which movies?
The fucking Station Attendant, dude.
The Station Agent.
Station Agent, there you go. Station.
See, you don't even know the name of the fucking movie.
Station Agent, because
did it come at me like that?
Just thought when it came out.
What is the Station Agent about? What is this?
It's just him, he likes trains. He's just the sad guy that likes trains.
Hey, are you on a movie recommendation podcast?
I think we're alone now. That was a pretty, he acted the fuck out of that shit. And that movie was boring, but he carried it.
All right. Well, that's good. Y'all are really selling these movies. Just so want y'all to know.
Well, this is a horror
I'm
movie
not podcast. Trying to sell the movies. I'm selling fucking Peter Dinklage.
Hey, you don't got to sell the dink. He sells himself.
You can put him in Garbage and you'll fucking have a hit.
Wait, the band Garbage? Like, he could be the singer for Garbage?
Fucking right now.
Oh, apparently Garbage is putting out a new album now.
Oh, that's great. It's only 40 years too late, but...
Yeah, they're saying, like, they now is the perfect time because there's so much turmoil going on right now that they've been called to write a new album.
Fucking Courtney Love needs to just go away.
Fuck you, dude. Fuck you.
She's always fighting with people on Twitter, and the people are like, are you relevant right now? Like, who are you?
Well, and then people have to ask themselves, wait, is she relevant? Like,
when she gets in a fight with, like Ariana Grande or some bullshit.
Yeah. She was into it with... the daughter, the heiress of the fucking company that I guess produces opioids or some shit.
Whoa.
Like whatever that fucking medical company's name is.
Johnson & Johnson.
I don't think that's what it was, but yeah, they were going at it on Twitter. But anyways, I'm a huge Hole fan, so fuck you.
Yeah, well, I don't like how they did the drummer, and I don't like
I don't like how she murdered Kurt Cobain. I don't like.
Hey, you don't say that. I want to be the girl with the most cake.
Oh, soaked in bleach or whatever it's called.
Hell yeah, brother!
You didn't care he was dead.
Hey, there's another movie I saw that I'm very interested in hearing y'all's opinion on. It's that movie Reunion that is on Shudder.
Okay, let's do Reunion.
All right, y'all. Next time, it's going to be the week after next, but we'll be reviewing either Gaia or maybe Reunion. I want to hear y'all's opinions on it, but...
All right,
y'all. Well, thanks for listening. If you have any questions, suggestions, anything like that, make sure to shoot them over to cultofhorrorpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Cult of Horror. You can find us on YouTube, Cult of Horror, TikTok, Cult of Horror. You can also find us on Instagram, where we are most active, at Cult of Horror Podcast.
Alan, TikTok's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. So. I really need to get that little dance video of Eric pulled up, if anything. But I mean, I'm going to be on the road, so maybe I'll fill some TikToks there.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, gotta be scary.
I mean, true. All right, that's it.
Get in line.
Drink the Kool-Aid, bitches.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Bitches. 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 Drink the Kool-Aid, bitches.
I'm into GILFs.
He's into GILF porn.
Oh, keeping that in.
Look at that around. It's gonna be long. Long like them Gmail boobies that Eric be whapping it to.
They're called danglers.